Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, ha! It is laughable. The northern kingdom was corrupt, greedy, and worst of all, idolatrous. 19 kings, and none of them, not a single one of them, was true to God. After 120 years, after King Saul, after King David, and after King Solomon, the kingdom divides. Two tribes to the south, they call it Judah. 10 tribes to the north, they call it Israel. And there are two prophets, and there are only two prophets who go to that northern kingdom pre-exile. And they go. They go with a message from God. Who are the two prophets? Hosea and Amos. H and A. Ha! It is laughable. Hosea and Amos, they go to that northern kingdom, to Israel, to Samaria, and Amos speaks in our text, woe. You see, the prophet Amos lived during a period of prosperity for Israel and Judah, and unfortunately, this was not a result of their faithfulness to God. Under the veneer of prosperity lay corruption, greed, and contempt for God's command. Instead of taking care of the poor, the leaders took advantage of them. Instead of leading the people to the Lord, they led them into idolatry. They ignored God's call to repentance. They ignored righteousness, and they sought opulence. All they cared about was their pleasure, with no thought to the God who created them. And so Amos preaches, woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. Zion represents that southern kingdom, Judah. Samaria represents that northern kingdom, Israel. The people of Israel and Judah would look to their priests and kings for direction, justice, and help. Having no enemies to pursue them, these leaders considered themselves to be on top of the world. They were at ease, feeling mighty secure in themselves, treating themselves almost as gods. But Amos, he offers this warning. He says, go over to Calna and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? Woe to you who are put far off the day of doom, who causes a seed of violence to come near. You see, the Lord, he points to the other nations that are surrounding Israel. Proud and mighty nations that fell. Calna is Nimrod's great fort that was captured by the Assyrians. Hamath is its own city-state that was captured by the Assyrians. And Gath, that Philistine city all the way in the south, was going to be captured by, yep, you guessed it, the Assyrians. Would Israel's fate be any different? 721 BC, that northern kingdom, Israel, is carried off by the Assyrians. But the leaders, they laughed at these warnings. Ah, it was laughable. They called the prophets, they called them fools. Instead of repenting and reforming, they oppressed the poor and they committed even more injustice. And it's interesting to know that while the Israelites, God's chosen people, were ignoring God's warnings, another nation, Assyria, to be specific, was listening. They were listening to the prophet Jonah. Nineveh repented and reformed, and they were spared from God's wrath. And they would be the very nation that would bring God's judgment upon Israel. Amos continues the Lord's charge against Israel. Woe to you who lie on beds of ivory, stretched out on couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly to the sound of string instruments, and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but are not grieved by the affliction of Joseph. You see, herein lay Israel's problem. The same problem that is affecting our society today. Luxury. Luxury lulled them into a deep spiritual sleep. Well, here's the picture that Amos paints. Israel's leaders are all sprawled out on expensive ivory couches. They gorge themselves with the best and fattest meats. They drink wine like water from large sacred bowls. They make a farce of religion and simply indulge in whatever they want to indulge in. They love pleasure and entertainment. They consider themselves as great as King David. But the thing that they refuse to care about is this: the ruin of Joseph. Joseph is another name for that northern kingdom, Israel. And Israel was a spiritual disaster. Greed and materialism ruled the day. The poor were being taken advantage of. Justice was being perverted. And worst of all, the gospel was not being proclaimed. The leaders of Israel, the priests and the kings, cared only for themselves and their gain. This is why God says, therefore they shall now go captive amongst the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be removed. Judgment. Judgment was coming. Israel would be reduced to just a memory. Their wealth would be destroyed. They themselves would become slaves to a foreign people in a foreign nation. They would become the lost tribes of Israel, never to be heard from again. The Israelite pride was great. But take a moment to consider the following. If this is how God judged his chosen nation, whom he delivered out of Egypt in mercy with an outstretched arm, how do you think he will deal with our society, which refuses to repent and turn from its wicked ways? Are we any different? You and I, what do we focus on? Material wealth? Prosperity? Our success? Our wants? Our desires? The Israelite had great pride in sin. Our great pride in our sin. Ha! It is laughable. It was also laughable that Satan would tempt Jesus. After Jesus was washed in the baptismal waters of the Jordan River, he was, and to use the Gospel of Mark's word, kicked out into the wilderness. 40 nights and 40 days, Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan was there too. 40 nights and 40 days, Jesus was tempted by Satan. Scripture records three temptations. Command these stones to become bread. Throw yourself down. I will give you all if you worship me. Satan tempted Jesus. Even on the in the garden, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, temptation stood firm. But Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus did his Father's will. He fulfilled the will of his Father. He endured the mockery of the trial and diligently went to the cross. He died. But more than that, he rose. He rose. He rose, and because he rose, we shall rise too. Because Jesus had an Easter morning, you and I will have an Easter morning when our bodies, like his bodies, will rise at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is then that we will truly know the joys of paradise. It is then that we will be body and soul with our God forever. It is then that we will know sin no more. Sin is a serious matter. You and I, we must see our sin. The law does need to do its job. We must repent and we must confess, and then the gospel can do its job and we can be forgiven. For only in Jesus do we have the forgiveness of sins, salvation, and life everlasting. Life without Jesus? Ha! It is laughable. Do you think all of this is laughable? Do you question that anything good can come from Nazareth? I use the words of Philip then. Come and see. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen.